Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on the Ultimate Sports Parent, I'm here with Sean Brawley, a former top 150 world-ranked tennis professional who met author Tim Galway and was mentored by him in the inner game coaching philosophy. Sean now works in a variety of sports doing inner game coaching with the likes of the New York Yankees and the USC football team. We're going to talk about the inner game of sports parenting.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Sean, as we talk about the inner game of sports parenting, let's begin by talking a little bit about communicating with sports kids. You mentioned earlier there's a way to do it that keeps kids open, and then there's a way to do it that causes them to close up.
Yes, there is. In working with a lot of kids that are trying to really get, you know, quite good, either a college scholarship or go on the pro tour, I've had a chance to watch the interactions of quite a number of parents and their children. And, I mean, there's the obvious approaches that don't work. But, you know, I think the most important couple of things that that I've noticed, Lisa, is especially when it comes around competition, it's just really noticing, you know, what is the child ready for? I mean, it's to really come from empathy and really understanding, well, what is the child ready to hear? And a lot of parents, after a competition, especially if a child has lost or performed poorly, they want to launch right into what they want to know, versus imagining what the child is going through. And in most cases, that, you know, the child doesn't really want to talk for a while.
Right.
That's one example. The other around practice that I've found is that, and I'd be really interested in Patrick's point of view on this, is that, you know, parents do watch their children play a lot, and so they form opinions and have ideas about how they can help their child by giving them tips and instructions and teaching them. But the children don't often see the parent as the expert. The parent might have very little experience in the sport that they're trying to coach their kid on, and I've noticed that when the kids don't see the parents as experts, even though they have valid, important information to share, the child doesn't receive it and is not open to receiving it because they don't see that the parent has any credibility.
Now, before Patrick responds, what does the child do in this case? They say, "Oh, come on, Mom, you don't know what you're talking about." I mean, what do you see them do?
Well, exactly. I mean, how they typically respond is to resist. And I also am drawing on my own experience. My dad tried to teach me tennis, give me a number of pointers, and it's, you know, somewhat embarrassing to, you know, reflect on what my dad told me many, many years later after I'd stopped playing and realize he was actually right, that because he simply watched me play quite a bit, he was very naturally an expert in my own game.
Ah.
And so that's not necessarily what that issue, although it could be. I mean, sometimes parents are giving faulty advice, but really what we're talking about is whether it's how to communicate so that the child is open. Or, you know, there's a great book. I love the title. It really applies here, which is how to talk so kids will listen and how to listen so kids will talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I'm trying to get at.
I see the same situation with my daughter who's playing tennis right now. I taught tennis when I was in college to, you know, the intramural crowd. So I taught beginning tennis. I played recreational as a kid. So I know quite a bit about tennis. You know, I've coached other sports as well. But my daughter will completely, when I start trying to coach her, if we're just hitting or if I'm talking about anything off the court, she tunes me out immediately in the idea that you don't really know what you're talking about. And, Sean, that's often why parents contact me about the mental game. The parents might know what to say to their kids about the mental game, but often there's a resistance that they don't really know, but they come to me as the expert, and to you also, I'm sure, saying, can you help my child? They won't listen to me, but they'll listen to an expert, you know. So I see that in the mental game area as well.
Mm, yes.
Now, Sean, do you have any advice for parents who want to somehow share their deep knowledge of their children with them in ways that are helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those simple but not easy. I mean, what I'm going to say, you know, will sound simple, but it, first of all, takes the awareness and mindset to resist telling their child what to do versus the approach that I'll recommend. And then it's also learning, you know, once they're in this kind of mindset, learning how to communicate specifically. And if I back up and say that what I've really clearly learned, Lisa and Patrick, is that there's a spectrum of different approaches, all of which can be helpful and effective given the circumstance or the context of the situation. On the one end, you have, let's call it teaching. That's where a person is an expert, has valuable knowledge. They want to impart that knowledge, and they want to share it. And we are all familiar with that model. And in part, a teacher might also give prescriptive instructions when they see someone's, like an athlete's behavior, that doesn't conform with the model of what they see as right and wrong. On the farthest side of the spectrum is what I personally call coaching. That's what the corporate world is calling that end of the spectrum. And by coaching in this definition, what I mean is you're not an expert. Like I helped a pole vaulter at USC improve her ability to, you know, to improve her performance, but I don't know anything about pole vaulting. I've helped, you know, the quarterback at USC, but I don't really know anything about how to throw a football, really, technique-wise. Same with the place kicker. And so, you know, this does get into the inner game coaching method, which is basically the way you approach it is not by telling, but by asking.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you do is you start to understand that you can, as a parent, you can facilitate the learning and performance of your child without actually telling them what to do, but by asking them questions that help them discover what you've noticed. An example of that would be, and this is just one example out of many, many examples, but let's say, Patrick, you're watching your daughter play and you notice that, you know, when she hits her forehand, she's really off balance, that, you know, she's coming off of her back foot and is, you know, her front foot's coming up and she's off balance, which really, you know, affects her contact point, affects her power. Well, it's very possible that you could come up and just tell her that, and if you have a good relationship and she's open, she might listen like she would to a regular coach. But if she's resisting, then a way to have a conversation that's different is to simply ask her a question. You know, something like, well, I notice you're really frustrated about hitting your forehand. Tell me more about that. And the child then might, you know, hopefully, again, from this approach, they tend to be more willing to share. And then in this case, you could follow that up by saying, well, in the next series of forehands, what do you notice about your footwork? What are you noticing about your feet, since that's really important? And then they might share, the child will then share what they're noticing. And then what happens is through those series of questions and answers and feedback sharing, suddenly the child becomes aware of their balance and it starts to shift and change very naturally.
That's a great way to communicate, I think, and to coach. I often use that same method in my mental coaching is you know, through the question and answering process, going down and being able to coach people that way. One thing I have done with my daughter, which I don't think has worked, is the idea of what would coach say about that, or what does coach say about that, your serve, or, you know, so I try to get at it a little bit different way with her, asking her if she knows what coach wants her to do. And I don't think that's worked. She knows where I'm going with it.
Right.
It does take you out of the expert realm. Now, I'm curious, Sean, that was a great example, and I'm wondering if you could provide another example that would speak more to the kids' mental game, because that's where the parents are probably pretty tuned in.
Well, there's a number of different examples. The one that comes to mind right away is when I was working with a top 14-year-old tennis player from Southern California, and you know, he didn't have a lot of energy when he played. He didn't bounce around too much, which is, you know, normal for a child playing tennis to be on the toes and really was a bit lethargic. And of course, you know, the model is the father, who actually was a former tennis coach. You know, I mean, in that situation, it's obvious what you'd tell a kid to do. You'd say, hey, you know, move it, get going. You got to have more energy. You got to get in it, you know, da-da-da-da-da, telling. Well, that didn't have any effect whatsoever on this kid. Let's call him John. And, you know, all I did was say, John, what, you know, your dad is saying that you've got low energy and you're not bouncing on your feet. I'm curious, what do you think? First of all, not that it's right or wrong, but what do you think about your energy level? What do you think about your ability to be prepared and ready to hit the ball? And he said, well, I've noticed that I do have kind of a low energy. I'm not all that excited out there. I do think I'm prepared to hit the ball, though. I do think I'm ready. And right there, that gave you a little bit of an idea of why he had resisted the father, who actually was an expert in this situation. Because in his own experience, John actually thought he was fine. He was ready to hit the ball, and you know, he didn't notice any kind of problem. So if a child isn't noticing any kind of problem in their own assessment, that's another reason why they might resist getting instruction from anyone, including a coach.
Right.
But in this case, what I did was I just said, well, here's what I'd like you to do. I mean, for right now, that's all fine. Just, you know, if you wouldn't mind, and you got a tournament tomorrow, just keep a little notebook. You know, every changeover, I want you to just note what rate on a scale of 0 to 10, what your energy level is, and then just note the score of the match. And he did that. And then, you know, he actually won, so he had a couple of matches. I wasn't there. And the father came back on Monday for his lesson and said, if you ought to market this one thing as like the thing, you know, as something to help parents and kids, because, Sean, this was simple and it worked amazingly well. And all it did was show him that, you know, when he noticed that he had slightly higher energy levels, he actually performed better. And as soon as a child notices that they perform better when they're in a certain state or something's happening that they're able to control to some degree, there's a natural motivation for them to change. They don't, right. And it doesn't come from the outside. The beauty is it comes from the inside.
Wow. Well, Sean, these are really great tips. I really am interested in the philosophy that you come with and the whole way the brain works. It's really interesting to me. I think we have to wrap it up for today, but hopefully we'll have you back.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, and it was a real pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Sean.
Thank you, Patrick, and thank you, Lisa.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.